scripture reading be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Also, we'll be reading from Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. We'll be reading from the New King James Version this morning. And the Bible reads, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, for Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain."
The more I think about the crucified Christ, I think about the fundamentals of the faith. I think about how the Apostle Paul and all of the apostles, they preach Christ and Him crucified. I think about the fundamentals of the faith, and sometimes I'm ashamed of that. Sometimes I lose focus on preaching the cross. I have to say from the onset that the reverence that has been portrayed today in worship to our great God has been, in my estimation, which is not much, magnificent. To see the reverence in singing, to see how the Lord's Supper was administered, how brethren took their time to make sure that the emblems were not clanging, but taking their time, the reverence. It caused me to really appreciate the cross even more. And then when Brother Cortland called and asked me, "What song do you want me to sing before the lesson?" And I remember telling the Lord this morning, I kind of wish the song leader would call me. And that man called me. And I was on the phone with someone else. I said, "I got to take this call." Because I knew he was going to be the one leading the singing. Because I have in my notes, you need to talk about that old rugged cross. Friends, when we think about the fundamentals of the faith, from the pulpit to the back wall, let us not ever forget that old rugged cross. We would not be where we are today as members of the Lord's church without the cross. And on many occasions, you find in the scriptures how the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, refers to the cross of Christ. If you will, I want you to turn your Bibles to the first passage or two that we want to consider in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Why are we Christians? We're Christians because of the one that died for us. We ought to do our part to live for him. The more I think about this, the more shame I feel sometimes being a gospel preacher, because I know sometimes I don't live up to that. So I praise God for his mercy and forgiveness, that he allows us to come before him in humility and repentance and confession, making things right. What a great God we serve. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." If I was to give the invitation now, I believe the sermon would still be preached. Because we have to make up our minds that as the people of God that we must live godly. It's vital for us as the people of God to live the crucified life because of the crucified Christ. We consider, why should we live the crucified life? Because the world needs an example of the crucified Christ. And the only way that that will take place, as the passages that was read in our hearing, we must be determined to preach Christ and Him crucified. That is the message that we have. And if we lose focus on that message, then we will allow all the distractions of this life to keep us away from that abundant life that our Lord and Savior promised that we could have. And no wonder the Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, the crucified life. All because of the crucified Christ. Our land has forgotten the principles of our God in heaven who allowed his Son to die a crucial death, to become a curse for humanity. Here, the one that knew no sin became sin for us. For the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 18, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. That's our God. That's how much he loves us. And we'll talk about that here in a few seconds. No wonder we see the world around us and the home deteriorating. Men and women losing their identity. Nation is fighting against nation. We have to ask ourselves the question, what is our message? The message, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will, turn your Bible there. The message is Christ and him crucified. Friends, if that's not the message, Brother Brian, we have no message. And so the more I think about gospel preaching, sometimes getting caught up in all of the deep things of God, lose focus on the simple things, the fundamentals of the faith, that which keeps one grounded in the truth. Friends, you have to always stay focused on the fundamentals, lest you get lost in all the superfluous. Lest you get lost in all of the lofty things, lest you get lost. But the Apostle Paul understood that when you consider the wisdom of the world, there's a wisdom that contrasts the wisdom of the world. And that is the wisdom of Almighty God. And no wonder when you think of the wise and the scribes and the disputers of this age, according to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 20, you think about that and they look at the cross and they say that's foolishness, but not according to God. Why? Because of his great love for mankind, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Friends, God has blessed us. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Here the Bible records for us, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are dying in their sins. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The more I thought about that and the more I'm thinking about it, even to this day, I think about how we as God's people are saved by the message of the cross. And no wonder Paul would say in Romans 1 and verse 16, these are fundamentals that we need to always be focused upon. He says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. Friends, we can't get away from the power. The power is not in us. The power is in the gospel. And we're just honored enough to be able to stand on God's behalf, to be able to teach and to preach and to live of the gospel. Friends, let us always keep that in mind. And friends, I'm talking more to Mike Bonner today than anyone, I promise you, that we need to stay focused on the gospel. That's the message. And the message is not just the verbal preaching of the gospel, but I must believe the gospel myself, and my life must be a living sacrifice. My life itself must be that that portrays the gospel. How do I know that I believe the gospel? I'm living it. That's how I know. It's not just a mental assent. It's not just a verbal articulation, but it's a mental assent, a verbal articulation, and it is action. It has to be all of them. And so it's not enough for me to think that the message is strong enough. No, I need to put the message into action, and then I'll see the power of the gospel at work. So how do I know how much God loves me? How do I know how much God loves his creation? He gave his son. And so Brother Brian, as he is helping us get our focus in Isaiah 53, the first 12 verses, appreciate the words that he spoke. And then he just read the scripture. And then he put us in a position to think. Friends, sometimes, as my mom would say, if you don't have nothing to say, just read the scripture and sit down. It's something about reading the scripture. And you look at Isaiah 53 and you think about what that suffering servant went through. And according to Isaiah 52, verse number 14, his visage, his appearance, his body was marred than any other man. Friends, how do you think about the cross and not think about what that man went through? Our Lord, our Master, our Savior. The reason why it catches me the way it catches me, because sometimes we allow ourselves to get caught up in the distractions of this life. All of the distractions are not bad. But if we don't stay focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, friends, we'll lose ourselves. And so no wonder we find in verse number 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice what he says. For since in the wisdom of God, the wisdom through the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God, notice this, brethren, through the foolishness of the message preached. Not spaghetti dinners. Not car washes. Not post online. Friends, he chose the message of the gospel and how God put on flesh and how he became a servant and became a man and how he lived his life in honor and reverence and praise toward God Almighty in obedience, even to the point that he was mistreated and misunderstood, beaten and nailed to a cross. For who? For himself? No. For us, for the world, even for those who did not agree with him, those who did not love him, those who misunderstood him. Romans 5 and verse number 8, for God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He died for the ungodly. Here we thought, when we think about this, friends, he died for me. He died for you. He died for Saddam Hussein. He died for the murderers. He died for everyone. Our responsibility is to just preach Christ and him crucified. And you can't preach Christ and him crucified without preaching everything about the Christ, about his kingdom, about repentance, about confession, about baptism. You can't preach the Christ without preaching those things. You got to preach it all. And so when we talk to people on our jobs, at home, wherever we are, we need to preach it all. You can't leave none of it out. You got to preach it all. You got to tell them about all of it. Why? Because you got to put people in a position to adhere to the crucified Christ. It's about him. It's not about us. And even when Jesus came, it wasn't about him. It was about the Father. It's interesting that our God made himself man in order for us to benefit. And we benefit from it. And so look at verse 22. For the Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But here go Paul again. We preach Christ. The Jews are looking for something miraculous. The Gentiles are looking for something mystical. He said it's not miraculous. It's not mystical. It's a message. It's the message of the cross. And any time that we lose focus on the cross, we'll find ourselves in trouble. We need to stay focused on the power and the wisdom of Almighty God, which is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, notice Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Friends, when you preach Christ, you preach the power. When you preach Christ, you preach the wisdom. And you can't preach Christ without preaching either or. You got to preach it all. What a blessing we have to be able to talk about the Lord, to talk about the Christ. Point two, the meaning of the cross, or the meaning of the crucified Christ. What does it mean that Jesus Christ was crucified? You think about that cross, and you think about what he went through, the scourging, the beating, all of that is part of the cross. Did nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong. And here is a man that was nailed to a cross, and the Bible tells us that he was on the cross for some 6 hours. Friends, the more I think about Jesus and how he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying to his Father some 3 times, according to Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46, he finds his disciples asleep. And the reason why is because his anguish, because of what he was going through, they were tired, but he had to maintain his focus on his Father and what the mission he had. Not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus did not come to do his own will. He came to do the will of his Father, and he did it. And he did it. But verse 46 is amazing in Matthew 26. He said, rise, let us be going. The betrayal waits. Friends, can I say this? God created us to do great things. He created us to do hard things. But we live in a land, we live in a world today where we have been weakened. And we give up and we just stop. But how do you give up and stop when you look at this man that was beaten? He should have died at the beating. But no, not Jesus. He had to make it to the cross. He had to make it to the being nailed to the cross. And so from Golgotha all the way to Calvary, he's walking. He's carrying his cross. He gets assistance from Simon the Cyrene. He makes the rest of the walk to Calvary. And then for 6 long hours, Brother Braswell, he's still on the cross. Don't tell me that man wasn't strong. And don't tell me we can't be strong. And people ought to be able to see strength in us. They ought to see Christ crucified in us too. We ought to be stronger than what we are. For some reason in America, we have grown very weak. Maybe because we're not looking and living like the crucified Christ. Friends, we can do big things. We can do great things. Jesus said, I came that you may have the abundant life. Friends, I have to remember that. And sometimes when we have this mentality and this attitude, people look at us as if we're arrogant. No, I'm confident. And I looked at my dear brother, Brother Cortland, as he is standing up, ready to sing the song right before I get up. And I looked at him and I said, that man is confident. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But we're confident because of Christ. Our courage is because of Christ and him crucified. And so everything that I'm doing has to look to him. No wonder Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony, watch this, of God. When I came to you, I didn't come with the wisdom of the world. I didn't use big words, if you will. I wasn't trying to be over your head. If anything, I'm trying to keep it foundational and fundamental. Why? Because I want you to understand exactly what the crucified Christ did for you. And how much God loves you. And friends, make no mistake about it. The God of heaven, he loves us. He loves everyone. Yet, because of his love, he wants them to obey his son. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I say. Friends, our children need to learn this. Our grandchildren need to learn this. Our friends need to know where we stand. And no wonder Paul would say in the very next verse, for I determined. Paul, what are you saying? You look that word up, friends, and it literally means I'm resolved. I got my mind made up. It's not the wisdom of the world. It's not the influences of the day. Friends, it's Christ and him crucified. I've determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. That's my message, Paul says. I don't have any other message. And so when I make application to my own life and I start thinking about the message of the cross, I have these spiritual tug of wars in my own mind. And I say, boy, you ain't worth nothing sometimes. And then there'd be days I'm like, man, you're worth every ounce of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on that cross. Paul said, I determined to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. That's all I know. My question to you is, what do you know? What's your message? Everybody's trying to be an influence for today. Everybody's trying to put their message out. They're trying to build up their platform. They're trying to get the glory. Friends, Paul wasn't trying to get his glory. He was glorifying Jesus. Everybody's trying to get a label. Everybody's trying to do something that they can put the spotlight on them. No, friends, we're not building kingdoms inside of this kingdom. There's only one king over this kingdom. His name is Jesus Christ. That's it. But why? Because that's the message we have. And the message we have is Christ and Him crucified. That's all we have. That's all we have. And truth be told, that's all we need. All we need is Christ and Him crucified. And so no wonder when I think about the world that we're living in and so many messages that are flooding our land, the billboards, the pop-ups, and all of these different messages, and everybody has a message. Friends, if we're not focused on Christ and Him crucified, we'll lose ourselves. We'll lose ourselves. We got to stay focused. If I determined to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified, it's all we should know. We must share what it means to follow Christ. What does it mean to follow Christ? To be fishers of men. What does it mean to be followers of Christ? To have the mind of Christ. Brother Trent Kennedy did a wonderful job on last week. I've been gone so much, I don't even know. I'm sorry, y'all. So, Brian, I don't even know if I'm the preacher here no more. Y'all pray for me and y'all be patient with me. Try it. Friends, our focus has to be Him. And not just on Sunday and Wednesday. Every day. Every hour. Whether you're on your phone or just driving in your vehicle. Whether you're rearing children or blessed to have grandchildren. Whether you're on your job or you own your own business, your responsibility is to glorify Jesus Christ. Has to be about Him. So Paul makes it clear in verse number 4. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 2. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Friends, do you see that? It wasn't human wisdom. He wasn't taking the word of the day and what the news is saying and what the podcast is saying and what all of these other people are saying. No, it wasn't human wisdom. No. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll take the words of the day. And no wonder 1 Chronicles 12 and verse number 32, that the sons of Issachar had an understanding of the times. We have to understand the times we're living in. He said, I didn't come to you with human wisdom. Paul, what did you come with? But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? So you can be founded. So you can have a foundation. So your faith can be strong. I can see why we're so weak sometimes. Me included. Why? Because we're listening to people other than God. And what happened with Adam when he didn't listen to God, but rather listened to his wife? What happened when we find other as he touched the Ark of the Covenant? He should have listened to God. Nadab and Abihu should have listened to God, but they were inebriated and had some things going on in their mind, therefore wasn't thinking straight. We got to watch the wisdom of the world. Well, I understand what the Bible says, but no. Here, Paul, what's your message? My message is Christ and Him crucified. He said that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the ability, the power of God. Sometimes we listen to man for so long, It hurts us. And one preacher said a long time ago, man has listened to man for so long that when God speaks through his word, he can't hear him. He can't hear him. And so when I stop and I consider this even more, Paul made the cross understandable and clear. I didn't use big words. So when we talk to people, we must make the message, number one, clear. We must make it relatable and we must make it practical. People have to understand. Reminded of one occasion when I was talking to some brothers and I was thinking about how this passage ought to be used and this passage ought to use. And Proverbs 4 and verse number 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing and therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Friends, make sure you understand what God is saying before you move forward. Never move without having an understanding of what God wants you to do. Ephesians 5 and verse number 17, make sure that you understand what you're doing. Why? Because wisdom is very important. Walk in wisdom. So the crucified Christ. We have one message. One message from God. And what's that message? It's in this word right here. This is our message. Galatians 2. Because the crucified Christ talked about the message of the crucified Christ, the meaning of the crucified Christ. Now let's talk about the manner of life because of the crucified Christ. Galatians 2, 20 and 21. We'll start at verse 17. What type of lifestyle should we live? You think of the background of the book of Galatians real quick. You had the brethren who were Gentile, Frenchmen, who had obeyed the gospel, and we had these Judaizing teachers, these Jewish teachers, and they were infiltrating the Gentiles and telling them that righteousness came through the law, and therefore, since righteousness came through the law, you need to be circumcised even though you obeyed the gospel. No. Paul comes in there, he says, I marvel, chapter 1, verse 6, that you're so soon removed from him who called you to the grace of Christ into another gospel. That's a different gospel. That's not what God is saying. Jesus Christ is the one that we're following. And so when you get to Galatians chapter 2 and you look at verse number 17, Paul, as he just got on Peter, because he just got caught up into some things as it relates to how he was treating the Gentile brethren. He said, but if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Of course not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now, he's talking about the law of Moses and telling Peter and Barnabas, you can't be doing this, bringing in that old system alongside of the system of Christ. No, Jesus nailed that old law, the Mosaic law, to the cross. We're not under that law. He said, don't bring that up. Don't bring that up. Why? Because that's gone. And so I was thinking about that. What's the application for us today? I've obeyed the gospel. I got this new life. I'm in Christ now. I'm a member of the Lord's church. I can't be going back into denominationalism. I can't be going back into my old lifestyle. I can't be going back into those old things I used to do. Why? That's dead. That's dead. So I got to grow. I need to go forward. What should be my manner of life because of the crucified life? My manner of life should be that I'm walking according to the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. And so what does that mean? That I'm walking according to the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You got to pick this book up and you got to put it in your mind. You got to meditate upon it. It's going to change you. It's going to help you. It's going to help you to be better. A better wife, a better husband, a better child, a better everything. It's going to help you. And so I see we're going to all of these other books, all of these other podcasts, all these other influences, and God is screaming, saying, here, come to me. I'm right here. I'm right here. But you need to come to the crucified Christ. And so look at verse 18. He said, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor, for I through the law died to the law in order that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. But according to this, your 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15, it's not me. So when people see me, they ought to see my Lord. When people see me, they ought to see the mind of Christ. When they hear me, they ought to see my Lord. They ought to hear my Lord. They ought to hear me quoting scripture. They ought to see me going to the Bible, the Word of God. My manner of life? What is my manner of life? If I want to see good days, I need to make sure that I keep my tongue from evil. If I want to see good days, I need to watch my mouth. I need to speak those things that Christ wants to hear. Paul says, Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. In the Greek, it's so beautiful. He said, who loves me and gave himself for even me. Brother Hightower, you hear that? For even me. Hold on. Paul, what do you mean by that? I was chief of sinners. Persecuted the church. Killing off Christians. The only one that could stop Jesus, stop Paul was Jesus. And sometimes it's the same for us. The only one that could keep us from not sinning anymore was the power of the gospel, the message of the gospel, the meaning of the gospel. If it wasn't for the good gospel teaching and preaching, friends, we wouldn't be here this morning. I leave you with these words. Verse 21, Paul said, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness came through the law, and Christ died for nothing. The context there, if righteousness came through the law of Moses, then what Christ did on that cross means nothing. Friends, if I can be saved outside of the gospel message, if I can be saved without Christ, number one, God is a liar. Number two, Jesus died for nothing. And number three, why are we preaching and teaching and living this life? Friends, y'all pray for me that I do better. I tell folk all the time, like, I used to sit in that pew. But God's man, he has to get up regardless of what's going on in his mind, in his head, and in his life. He still got to get up. You make things right with God, you keep pressing forward. Why? God's faithful and just to forgive. Sometimes even the best of us lose focus on why we're doing what we're doing. Why are you a father? Why are you a husband? Why are you a wife? Why are you a member of the church? Why are you someone who is professing Christianity in the community? Friends, if it's not because of Christ and him crucified, you got the wrong reason. You got the wrong reason. You're trying to win arguments and it's not about Christ and him crucified, you got the wrong reason. You need to backtrack. Because it's about Christ and him crucified. Y'all pray for me. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. The only way you can be a child of God, you have to emulate the crucified Christ. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died. They took him off of that cross, put him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. God raised him up because of holiness, Romans 1 and verse number 4, that third day. Then he appeared, thus God giving evidence that he is the Christ. He is the Son of God with power. And we have to do the same thing. If we're going to identify with Christ, friends, we got to die to sin, which means that we have to be buried in water, Romans 6, verses 1 through 6. Be raised out of that water to walk in the newness of life. That's in baptism. Then go and appear to all people that Christ lives in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1, 27. We preach the gospel. We live the gospel. And everything that we do is because of the gospel, everything. If it's not for the gospel, friends, just backtrack. God is faithful and just to forgive, and we ought to love him. He's not like man. God doesn't hold grudges. God wants you to turn. He's a good God. Maybe you're a child of God, and you need special prayer. Let's do that right now as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.